glory, 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 glory. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God that we serve. None like him and none beside him, but God all by himself. My Lord, we're able to come into this house today, Father God, and lift up our voices, lift up our hands, sing the praises of Zion, hallelujah, to glorify his name, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I don't know about anybody else, amen, but I feel something on the inside today, because I know that I know that I know that I know that I know who he is. And I knew, hallelujah, if it had not been for the Lord, glory, 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 she wouldn't be by my side. But I'm thankful to you, sweetheart. Hallelujah. I'm thankful, God. And I'm glad about it. Amen. This morning, hallelujah, I'm not going to prolong it. Amen. We've been talking about the kingdom. We've been talking about the presence of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We're talking about citizenship in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Today, man, we want to talk about the power that's in the kingdom.
Amen.
Kodabashata. The power that's in the kingdom.
Amen.
Without power, the word is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Without power, the word is nothing. Without the power, the word has no kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
If the word doesn't have power and the kingdom is not behind the word, then it's just another book.
Mm-hmm.
With some nice phrases and some nice poems and some nice songs in it, some nice stories in it. It's just another book. And then this book says it has no power and it's just words. It can't do anything to change our lives. But I'm reminded of a promise. A promise that Jesus made concerning this book. He said this to Peter in Matthew 16, 18. I'm not preaching yet. Just laying some foundation. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, 18. He said this. Speaking to Peter, he says, the gates of Hades, that is the gates of hell, will not be able to withstand or withhold the advancing of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You can replace that word kingdom with the church. Jesus was going to build his kingdom, build his church, amen, on this world. And he said the gates of hell could not, would not be able to withstand it. In other words, amen, Jesus is telling us that there is no greater power known to man. There is no greater power on earth. There's no greater power that man can tap into outside the power of the word of God. Jesus is saying, amen, that his power is greater than that of our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the kingdom of God comes up against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God always wins.
Amen.
There's never been a draw. There's never been a tap out by the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a I give by the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
But every time the kingdom of God comes up against the kingdom of darkness, darkness dissipates.
Mm-hmm.
It fades. Because the power of God is much more than that of our enemy. So the question is, what is this power? Turn with me to Luke, amen, chapter 24. I'm going to read one verse, amen. Verse number 49. And then we're going to go on from there. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus,
yes, sir,
I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor. Father God, have your way in this place today. Lord, I already feel your presence. I already know you're here. We showed up to meet you, Father God. You were already in the house. But Father God, we come, Lord, that we might understand the power in the kingdom. How we access it, Father God. How we maintain it, O Lord God. And how we're able to be used of it through you, O Father God, to do all that you've called us to do. Have your way in this place today, Father. Let your power shine in this house, Lord God. Let it be endowed. Let it be poured out, Father God, upon each and every one of us. Have your way, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. How do we access this power? What is this power? Amen. Acts 1:8 said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the clothing, is the covering, amen, is the endowing of the power of the kingdom. But who does this power come to? Does it come to any and everybody just because we walk in the church? Does it come to each and every one of us, amen, because we say that we're a child of the King? And what is the purpose of this power? For us, amen, to walk around and say, I have power. I submit to you today, amen, that in order to receive the power of the Most High God, you have to become a child of the King. You have to become, amen, a servant of the Most High. Amen, because the power, amen, comes, amen, upon us, amen, we're endowed with it, amen, that we might, amen, be able to be used by the Lord. Amen, that his power would activate those gifts in us, amen, placing us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, amen. Already resident there, amen. Even before, amen, we came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, amen, God had already imparted his spirit with us, amen. He already had a part of him in us, amen. But in order for us to activate that is already there, we have to submit and connect to Jesus Christ. And once we do that, amen, It's like a plug and a light, amen. The light bulb is already in the fixture, amen. Light bulb is already prepared, amen, to do what it's supposed to do. But until it's plugged in to the power source, until it's connected to the power, amen, it's just a light bulb connected to a fixture. Until the man or woman, amen, not only just coming to the church. See, coming and going outside, in and out the doors of the church just means you're coming into the fixture. You're coming in, amen. You somehow connected to it, amen. But you have not connected to the power. It's not until, amen, that plug, amen, is plugged into the AC, into the socket, amen, that there is a bolt of electricity that flows through it, amen, that suddenly makes that light bulb brighten and light up. Hallelujah. Well, it's the same way with us that are the men and women of God. It's not until we plug into Jesus. It's not until we endow with the power of the Most High. Amen. It's not until the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, begins to flow in us and to us and through us, amen, that we're able to light up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Power comes to activate the gifts in us. The gifts include these things. I know you know them. 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10 says it like this. It would give us the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Amen. It would give us faith, gifts of healing, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, understanding different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The power. What is this power for, amen, that we might be able, amen, to be used of God, hallelujah, that the unsaved world would know that there is a true living God, amen, that those that are serving him aren't just men and women walking the earth, amen, but they're walking the earth, amen, with the power from God the Creator, amen, able to understand, able to declare, able to do only what God enables us to do. Glory. The gifts of the Spirit, amen. There are special abilities, amen, set aside for the believer. Amen. Provided by the Holy Spirit to them that are called Christians, to them that are called followers of Jesus, disciples of Christ, amen, for the building of the kingdom, for the building of the body of Christ, amen. It's all right, amen, to go to church, amen, and have good singing. We had some good singing this morning. It's all right, amen, to go to church, amen, and have fellowship with the saints, amen. It's all right, amen, to go to church, amen, and feel comfortable, amen, at peace in the house of the living God. But how many of you understand, amen, that to come to the church is not only that, but it's to be endowed with power to do the work and the will of a living God? If you're coming to church, amen, and you don't have any power, I say something's wrong. I say there's something that we're missing. We need to tap into something, amen, that will allow us to do all that God has called us to do. Not just some of what God has called us to do. See, some things you don't need power to do. You don't need power, amen, hallelujah, to sit down and talk with somebody else about the gospel. But you need the power when you're speaking about that gospel, amen, to have the wisdom and the understanding, amen, to explain it. You don't need the power, amen, amen, to get up and come to church. But you do need the power when you leave the church to stand in the world. I've said for a long time, amen. And scripture backs it up, hallelujah. I got it from the word, it didn't come from me. That you don't need the Holy Ghost to get saved. The Bible says, amen, that there's a measure of faith given to all men. God is calling, drawing each and every one of us. But I do declare, amen, that if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, you will struggle to stay saved. Let me say it again. If you do not have the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit of the living God working in your life, you're going to struggle day to day to stay saved. Because it's not going to be by the power of God. It's going to be by your self-will. It's going to be by your own desires. It's going to be by, well, I'm going to get up because it's my tradition to get up and pray. It's my tradition, amen, to read the Bible. It's my tradition to go to church. And it's good that we do those things. But if you don't have any power, if I don't have any power, when the devil show up, they're going to say, uh-huh, I know you're going to church. Bam, going to slap you down with something. Then what you going to do? When the devil strike your body with illness, sickness, and disease, what you gonna do? When your children are running wayward all around the world doing everything but what God has called them to do, what you gonna do? When the enemy come to your front door, amen, on your front street, amen, begin to speak into your life, what you gonna do? I say what we're gonna need to do, because the devil is not going to give up.
Amen.
So we're going to need to have a means to overcome, to overtake, and to destroy the works of the enemy. The Bible says, amen, hallelujah, that the power of God, the power from on high, amen, hallelujah, it gives us the discerning of spirits. Before we got saved, amen, you would hear people say, well, you know, women just have this intuition. They just know things, you know. I submit to you, amen, that this power of discerning that God has is greater than this power of intuition that we speak of in the natural world. Because the discerning spirit, amen, can have you in a crowd of thousands, hundreds. And by the spirit, I've been in places, amen, when I was an active duty soldier, and I went to meetings, amen, that I had to go to, places I had to go because of my work, amen. And I could be in there, hallelujah, and I wouldn't want to be there because I knew it was going to be some stuff happening I didn't really want to be bothered with, amen. But I could be in the corner or sitting somewhere, or sitting at a table, and all of a sudden, I said, I feel something in here. I noticed something. And next thing you know, I get to walking around, or somebody get to walking around me, amen. and the spirit just connect like a plant. Just you, oh, and you get to talking and you recognize by the conversation that they're not like everybody else. Then you ask them, "You saved?" "Oh yeah, man, I'm a Christian." And you just know it.
Amen.
The discerning of spirits. Amen. Or you can be amen in a situation or a place, amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit just begin to talk to you and say, "You don't need to be up in here. You don't need to be hanging around that individual. You don't need to be doing this or that or the other." Amen. How many of you ever went into a place, amen, or been in a crowd or something, and you just said, "Man, I don't feel right in here." You don't see nothing going on out of ordinary. You don't hear nothing going on out of ordinary, but you just feel something in your spirit that says, "I don't need to be here."
Mm-hmm.
The discerning of spirits. You kind of can, you know, you when Peter, amen, had to tell the man that had made a promise in Acts chapter 3, it talks about, amen, how the saints went and sold their possessions, amen, to help the needy in their community in Jerusalem. His husband and wife said, "Hey, well, we want to give too." And so they decided they were going to sell some of their land, amen. And they said they were going to give the proceeds of that to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And what they had said, though, they said they were going to give it all to the church. But when the husband came in to bring his offering to the kingdom of God, he didn't give the kingdom of God everything he had promised.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was not with him when he made the sale.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing Peter said to him was, "Why are you lying to the Holy Ghost?"
Mm-hmm.
See, he had discernment in his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that as a man said, he said, "This is what we got." He knew immediately after he spoke them words that he was lying by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter says to him, he says, "Before you said you was going to give this, it was already yours."
Mm-hmm.
"And you could do with it whatever you want."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paraphrasing, of course. "But when you say you're going to give it all to the kingdom,"
uh-huh,
"that's what God was looking for."
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says that he dropped dead right there. And a little while later, when his wife came in and told the same lie, Peter said to her, "Why have you continued to lie like your husband?"
Mm-hmm.
"And you're going to meet the same ending that he did." And the Bible says she dropped dead right there.
Mm-hmm.
How did Peter know that they were lying? The discernment of spirits. Amen. They came in smiling in his face, but what was on the outside was not what was on the inside. The outside said, "Hey, I got something for you." The inside said, "I'm holding something back." The discerning of spirits. The power of the Most High God brings peace, joy, and righteousness. This comes by the kingdom of God. Romans 14 and 7 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. You know, many today, you know, we have to submit, I'm sure I've been guilty of this. I know I've been guilty of this myself. But many today think that the signs of the kingdom in somebody's life is based on their possessions. We look at churches, amen, and being that I'm a pastor, amen, I'll say this. Sometimes we look at churches and we judge their power of the kingdom based on how big their church is. Oh, man, they must have it going on up in there. Man, they got 300-400. Man, they got 5,000. You know, it must be happening in there. God must be doing all kind of stuff up in there. I mean, you know, God's walking with them, man. They got brand new cars and big houses and all kind of money and good jobs. Amen. You know the power's with them. But I just read to you that the Word of God said it's not in meat
in clothing. In other words, it's saying it's not in possessions. It's not in the things of the natural. Though, let me help somebody. Though, because the power is flowing in your life, you can be successful. More than likely, you're going to be successful in the things of this world. But just because you have success in this world doesn't mean that the power of God is with you. Because remember, the devil empowers those too. To do what? To deceive and to destroy. Why do you think so many folks want to be drug dealers and all that kind of stuff? Because it's like they got a lot of power, a lot of authority. They got money and they got fancy cars and clothes and everything. And it looks good to some folks. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Matthew 6 and 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added on to you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, I just read to you that the kingdom of God, power also means righteousness and peace. That means, amen, that we got to seek after the things of God first. We got to seek after the presence of God first. That's how the power is going to come into our lives. We got to set aside the worldly things, the worldly desires, and seek after the kingdom of God. And when we're seeking after the kingdom of God, as we get ourselves closer and submitted unto him, amen, then the power begins, the power level begins to rise in us. All my life, amen, I've heard that the more time you spend in prayer, or when I've heard great anointed men and women of God, amen, one of the things that stands out about them that I hear in my hearing, amen, is how they spend all this time in prayer. And how they, amen, trusted in God when everything else, amen, said no. But they believed the voice, they believed the word of God, and the word of God was saying yes. And so they endured, amen, ridicule. They endured, amen, laughter, amen. They endured tough times and rough times, amen, financially rough, amen, spiritually rough times, whatever it was, amen. But they endured, but they prayed and stayed connected to God. I'm telling you, amen, I'm speaking to myself. See, I have a desire to see God do some awesome things in this church, in this community, amen. And with this renewal in my spirit and my prayer last night in this place, amen, it's come painfully aware to me that I need to spend more time in prayer. That I need to cut off some distractions, amen, in order to see what God has for this place. So I'm telling you, amen, that if I'm going to be the child of God and you're going to be the child of God he's called us to be, and we're going to have righteousness in our lives, amen, it starts by us connecting first to the things of God. Seeking the way of the Lord, amen. Seeking the direction of the Lord, amen. I'm telling you, oh man, I feel this, amen. I look at some shows on TV, talking about these Christian shows, amen. And many of them today are talking about the coming of the Lord. And they're talking about getting prepared, amen. Hallelujah. Some of them are only talking about getting prepared in the natural, you know, getting food supplies and ammunition and all those type of things, amen. And I believe there's a place for that, amen. But more importantly, we need to be getting prepared spiritually. That we have the power, amen, in this world, amen. That we can walk in righteousness before God, amen. Because the world is already pulling us left and right and this way and that way, amen. But if we're nailed down in the righteousness of God, amen. If we're nailed down in the power of the Most High God, amen. No matter what the world is pulling, no matter how they entice it, how they dress it up, and how they present it to us, amen. As long as we're locked down into the word of the living God, amen, we'll have the power to say no to the things of the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. John 14 and 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I've said for a long time, amen, I've always talked about, amen, David. I love to refer to David, amen, when him and his men were traveling back to their city of Ziklag, amen, and you know the story, amen, and how far off they begin to see the smoke come from the city. They rush to the city and find out that their families have been stolen, taken away, captured, and all their possessions. And it talks about, amen, that David's men were so angry and so despondent about losing their families that these men that loved David and would die for David were ready to kill David. They were so angry and upset, amen, they didn't realize or they didn't consider, amen, that David had also lost everything too. The Bible says that David fell on his knees and before his men and began to cry out to God. Without going through the whole thing, he asked God, he says, "What am I going to do?" And the thing the Lord said to him, he said, "Encourage yourself." Wait a minute. This man has lost everything he knows. His men are ready to kill him. And God didn't say to him, "I'm going to cover you and protect you. Stand up and fight." God didn't say to him, amen, he says, "All power in heaven is with you, David. All you got to do is strike." He didn't say. He said, "Encourage yourself." And when I first, the Lord first brought that to my understanding, amen, hallelujah, I was like, "What?" But now I get it, and I've said it many, many times, amen. He said, how was David supposed to encourage himself? And God had me to realize, amen, that he had to remember, he had to encourage himself based on what God had already done. I'm telling you, amen, without the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, you won't give God credit for anything in your life. You would look at yourself and say, if it hadn't been for me, if it wasn't for my intellect, it wasn't for my connections, it wasn't for my money, it wasn't for my friendships, I wouldn't be or have what I got and would have done what I did. But when you're walking with Jesus Christ, you understand if it had not been for the Lord, and you look at situations like David looked at, and David began to remember when he was out there in the fields with the sheep, amen, his brothers and father are off, amen, and all he can remember, amen, was that when the bear came to destroy the sheep, that God gave him the ability to kill the bear. He had to remember when the lion came to kill the sheep, the Lord gave him the power to destroy the lion. Then of course he had to remember when all of the armies of Israel were sitting afraid of Goliath, that giant, amen, and David shows up on the scene about 16 years old, wasn't able, old enough, amen, to be a soldier in the army yet, still a young man according to the laws of Israel, amen. But when David shows up, he gets an indignant attitude in the name of the Lord about this giant, and the Bible says, amen, that he picks up 5 stones and goes to battle this giant. All he had to use was one, and the Bible says he slung that rock, amen, hit that Goliath in the head and killed him, amen. Took his sword, amen, and chopped his head off. David began to remember all the things God had done. Because David recognized, amen, if it hadn't been for the power of the Most High God, if it hadn't been for the Spirit of the Living God working through him, he would not have been able to overcome those adversaries. And what am I trying to say to us today? Sometimes, amen, we got to remember what God has already done. We can't look at the present. We can't look at what happened. Oh Lord, what am I going to do? But we got to remember, if it had not been for God, I can look back on my life now and I can tell you, if it had not been for the Lord, amen, I wouldn't be walking and talking today. I might not have my wife with me today. I might be dead and already gone. I might be crippled, blind, and crazy. But Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
The power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Brings back to my remembrance. Everything God has already done. Thank you, Lord. I'll say it, Lord. I'll say it. I remember going to Hanau, Germany, having a first service the first August, amen. First Sunday in August, amen, 2002. Hallelujah. Had 7 people in service. It didn't look good for the starting of a ministry. All I know, amen, to do, amen, was keep on praising. That's what we did today. Keep on worshiping. That's what we did today. Keep on raising my hands. That's what we did today. Keep on preaching the word. That's what I'm doing right now. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, we went from 7 people to 10, went from 10 to 20, and 20 to 40, and 40 to 80, and 80 to 100, and on and on and on and on and on. What am I telling you? Amen. I've learned over time, hallelujah, to just trust in Jesus. I've learned over time, amen, to have faith in what God has already done. When it don't look good in the present, look back to the past and remember what God had brought me from. I remember, amen, having car accidents. Should have been dead and gone, but God pulled me out. I remember, amen, all the things I did that were not pleasing to God and not my wife. And my wife could have walked away and left me, but God held us together.
Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, God.
Glory, I'm a son. Oh, glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I remember the day my children got saved.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Some folks that don't know it might look at my children today and say, man, they ain't never going to go to heaven. But I remember what God said. And I remember what God did. I remember my children worshiping God. I remember my children praising God. I remember my daughter having a call to teach the children to sing the anointings of heaven. I remember my son, God gifted him with the gift to play the music of Zion. And I remember the call upon his life when he was 12 years old, crying and shaking. God had already told me 3 days before. And the Lord said, don't go to him. I'm going to send him to you. And my son come to me in a prayer meeting, shaking and crying, tears flowing down his face. I said, what's the matter, son? He said, Daddy, God called me to preach. I said, I know. Why am I sharing this right now? Because I'm telling you, praise God, hallelujah. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes you got to know that you know by the Spirit of the living God that God has already got it worked out. You got to remember, amen, what God has already done and what he's already declared. And the Bible said that his words will not return to him void. So I come before you today saying, my son is going to preach the word one day. My son is going to teach the gospel one day. My daughter is going to teach the songs of Zion and uplift the name of the Lord. I come by to tell you right now, I don't care who you are or what you're going through. I don't care where you're from or where you think you're going. If you just remember what God has already done in your life, you just remember if it had not been for Jesus, if you just remember, amen, that God is on your side. Oh, glory. Victory is at hand. My God. Let me read the verse again, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's why you got to read your Bible, saints. That's why you got to study your word, so that you can get some God down in you, so you can get some of that junk out. My bishop says it like this: get rid of that stinking thinking. Hallelujah. And when we do that, amen, the Bible says through the renewing of our minds, through the reading of the word. Hallelujah. The power of God gives us the power to serve God. It gives us the power, amen, to carry out, amen, the Great Commission. God has sent us forth into this world. He sent the KIWC. He's planted the Kingdom International Worship Center in this community. Amen. That we might reach the lost.
build his church and establish his kingdom. He established this church in this place, amen, that me and my wife, amen, together with the saints, that he will gather unto us, amen, will go forth in this community, amen, to do all that God has called us to do. So my responsibility, amen, is get some word down in me. My responsibility, my wife's responsibility, amen, is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. My responsibility, amen, is to be prepared and ready to do what God has called us to do, to carry out the Great Commission. What is that? Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Luke 10:9. And heal the sick, and therein said to them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Luke 11:20. But I, with the finger of God, cast out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. What am I saying to you? I'm saying, amen, that the kingdom of God has come to endow us with power to do the works of the kingdom, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Yes, raise the dead. Not just dead in the natural, but more importantly, dead in the spirit. We have the power of the living God in us. We want the church endowed with the power of God. I'm telling you, amen. I'm praying for the day, amen. I'm praying for the time, amen, that folks will walk into this sanctuary, hallelujah, and because of the power and the presence of God, whatever's going on in their lives, it will be destroyed in the instant they walk in. Yes, it can happen. I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's going to be a routine happening. Why? Because God is wanting to do all that he said he's going to do in this place. Whew. My God, we've been endowed with power from the kingdom, of the kingdom, to do the kingdom work, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and to set the captives free. Every true follower of the gospel, every true believer of the gospel, hallelujah, when they preach, teach, sing, it's followed by miracles, signs, and wonders. See, people don't want to be preached to, they want to be healed. The dead don't want to be preached to, but raised. Insane people don't want to be preached to. They want to be set free. The disabled don't want to be preached to. They want to rise up and walk. The kingdom of God is not dead, but living and powerful. The word with the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is power to do, to be able to do the wonders and the works. In the kingdom of God, there is no illness, sickness, or disease. There's no disabled, insane, addicts, or people in bondage. How could I buy shaita? In the kingdom. In the kingdom. In the kingdom. In the kingdom. Glory. You can have that power. I can have that power. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called upon his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men, of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of the Most High. Romans 15:18-19. For I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me.
to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Lystra, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul was saying there in Romans, hallelujah, I didn't just come to you with fancy words, but you saw the power of God manifested. You saw the power of God moving in yourselves and in your communities. And so I conclude with this. Without the Holy Spirit, the word is nothing. It can do nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, the writers in the Bible are just words in another book. Without the power, the kingdom of heaven cannot be revealed through miracles, signs, and wonders, with delivering humanity from all this disease and bondage. Without accepting the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much you read, you will never understand it. It will never change your life. For many have accepted the word. A whole lot of people go to church. But the Bible says of those, he said, for many have accepted the word as the word of God, but they have taken a form of godliness through reading it, but denying the power which changes a person's lives. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. This is the reason you see people attend church on Sundays. That's how come so many folks can come into the church on Sunday. But in the evening or after service, they're drunkards. They're caught up in sexual morality, adultery, boasting and showing off, talking about their money and lovers and all this kind of stuff. Because they have denied the power, but have a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:2 through 7. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Yes. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, the Bible says, from such, from people like that, turn away from them. I'm closing, but let me say something right there. I had to come face to face with something. My wife said it to me. And you know how we are as husbands sometimes. We hear what our wives say, but we don't listen. My wife said something to me, and then I was reading my word, and God smacked me in the face with the same thing. And this is what the Lord said. He said, I spent a lot of time, and I said, let me just be honest and do what God said. I spent a lot of time beating up folks in the church.
Jesus.
Talking about the church and what the church is not doing and what the church is and is not. And God said to me, he said, stop spending so much time talking about what the church is not doing and start telling the people what the church is doing. God, how about you? And when I when I heard the word of God in my spirit,
Jesus.
He reminded me that he had already told me that through my wife.
Jesus.
I'm telling you that today, amen. Because I would not have recognized the word of God.
Jesus.
I would not have accepted the word of God when I heard that voice in my spirit. If I hadn't already submitted myself. If I hadn't already said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm not trying to pump myself up, but I'm trying to give you an example. I'm trying to give you an example that when you accept Jesus Christ, you're going to make mistakes. You're not always going to dot all your I's and cross all your T's. You're going to make mistakes, and that's all right. You might even commit some sin. That's not all right. But what all right is about that is that when you do, if you repent and ask God to forgive you, he will. I'm a standing, walking example of forgiveness in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I know that I know that I know that I know that I know from this day forth. It don't look like it right now. But from this day forth, we're going to see the power in this house. We're going to see the Holy Ghost in this house. He's already here. He resides in me. He resides with my wife. But what I'm trying to let the world know is that, hey, man, God is going to show up and show out in this place. And not just this place, but anywhere and at any time that we are willing to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. The power of the kingdom. It's not just word. It's not just buildings and whether or not you have 500 or 5. But it's demonstrated in our obedience to the word of God. It's demonstrated when souls are saved. It's demonstrated when families are restored. When people are healed of their sickness, illness, or disease. It is shown, amen, when I have love for my brother. Whether or not they love me or not. It shows up, amen. When I will sit down and allow another to be exalted. It shows up through loving kindness. For them that are worse off than you.
Yes,
the power of the kingdom to change hearts, yes. Minds, souls, and spirit.
Yes.
Do you need to be changed today?
Jesus.
Do you need the power of the Most High God?
Yes.
In your life?
Thank you.
For those of you that may hear or see this at another time. We submit to you, me and my wife, amen, that we are not perfect people. But we want to submit you, commit you, introduce you to a perfect God. His name is Jesus Christ. We want to tell you, amen. Glory, that if you would just simply trust in Jesus and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to work in your life. My God. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men those things that God has already set aside for you. Glory. Let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus.